The next speaker is going to be Matt Kunzer, who is a postdoc at the Alan Turing Institute.
Thanks, Miguel. Hello, everyone. I'm Matt, and this is joint work with Gao, Chuan, Yu, Killian at Cornell, and Fei Sha at USC. And I have the opportunity to also go right before a break. Similar to what Sebastian did, I'm going to sort of try to get you guys engaged, but I'm going to do it in a very different way. I'm going to start by quizzing you. And the quiz question, the first one is, are these texts similar? The first one says, I just cooked this awesome recipe. It is my favorite dish. Food is so yummy. The second one says, my favorite politician gave an awesome speech about an important topic. Well, of course, in one sense, these are very similar. They both express a positive sentiment. And these words help us identify this. In another sense, they're very different. The first is about food, the second is about politics. The second quiz question. Which of these books is most similar? Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, The Wizard of Oz, and The Cuckoo's Calling? Well, if by similarity you mean that similar books should be those that have similar themes and similar genres, then the first two books should be more similar, because these are fantasy novels versus an adult detective novel. But if by similar you mean that the authorship of the books are the same, well then the first and the third book should be more similar than the first and the second. So the way usually people go about constructing a similarity metric between two texts is they first begin by constructing a vector for each document, and then they go and compute some similarity metric, like the Euclidean distance, as a measure of dissimilarity between these texts. So what I'm showing you right now are six different ways to represent documents as vectors, and I'm reporting on the y-axis the error of each of these methods when you use them for k-nearest neighbor classification. And the error is with respect to the bag of words error. So we represent each document as a vector, and then we classify based on their similarity using these vectors. Importantly, the lower the better. You've better encoded similarity because your error is lower. I'm going to compare also against some classic methods like latent Dirichlet allocation and latent semantic indexing, as well as a new method called marginalized stack-to-noise and autoencoders, or MSDA. So what we can do if instead we have label information, so we have, for instance, that the first document is written by a certain author and the second document is written by a different one, is we can learn a better similarity than just computing these vectors. We can transform this vector space with a metric matrix A to learn a similarity such that documents with the same label are close and documents with different labels are very dissimilar or sort of distant. And this is the field of linear metric learning. It's a huge field. And what I'm going to do is show you sort of what it looks like with respect to our problem. So here again is the plot I just showed you. And let's run metric learning on each of these representations and see what happens. So the first thing I'm going to run is information theoretic metric learning by Davis et al. And what we see is that the errors of each of these representations is reduced because we're sort of better capturing this similarity. So what if I just run a different metric learning algorithm, and I'll run now large margin nearest neighbors by Weinberger et al. And we again see sort of this error reduction as we encode similarity well. And for the heck of it, let's just run neighborhood component analysis, or NCA by Goldberger et al. And we again see an improved result with respect to the unsupervised distance. So what I can do for each of these methods is I can just show the best out of all of the metric learning and unsupervised methods. And we see what we've done is we've reduced the error over the bag of words error by about 60% with this specific combination of TF-IDF and NCA. Now, what if I told you that there's a completely unsupervised way to compute the similarity between two documents that nearly matches the state of the art. Well, if you have labels about how documents should be similar, what you'd want to do is you'd want to see if you could learn a better similarity that is encoded by these labels. So this method is the word movers distance, and it's a technique that we introduced in ICML 2015, and I'm going to show you how it works. The word movers distance is built off word embeddings, and word embeddings are simply mappings from words to a vector space. So now each word is represented by a q-dimensional vector. Importantly, this embedding is learned so that similar words are embedded close together. So the words moon and Saturn are, for instance, very close in this embedding. So given this embedding, what we can do is we can take a document. For instance, this is a recipe about roasted chicken. And we can first, on the left, compute the normalized bag of words representation of the document. This is just the normalized counts of each word in this document. And then we can also take the word embeddings of each of these words. And with this, we can sort of imagine placing these histogram bins at the location of the word embeddings for each word. And I'll call this sort of a new representation, and the term I'll use for it is a bag of word vectors. Because it's similar to a bag of words, but now we have a vector representing each word. And then we can take another document about baked kale, and we can also construct the bag of words vector representation. Given this new representation, I'm going to propose a distance that I call the word movers distance, or the WMD, which is the minimum cost that's required to transport D to D prime. And by cost, I mean word cost, the minimum amount of word distance I have to move the document D to D prime. So to give you an intuition of why this sort of makes sense, I'm going to show what it looks like on this example. So we can imagine trying to fill the histogram bins of D prime with the histogram bins of D. And the cheapest way to do that, the minimum cost, looks like this. So the intuition is we're basically going to try to move as much mass as we can to nearby words, the closest words. And if there's any words that haven't been filled, we're going to move any remaining mass to those words. The reason sort of minimum cost makes sense is because for documents like these that are very similar, this transport, which is shown in these gray arrows, is very small, which intuitively makes sense because the word embeddings are close. For two very different documents, when I replaced the second document about rebels overthrowing a dictator, the transport between these two documents ends up being much larger because we have to traverse much farther in word space. This problem, this distance, can be phrased as an optimal transport problem, which can be expressed as a linear program. And the goal is to learn a so-called transport plan or transport matrix T, such that each entry in this matrix, ij, tells me how much mass I'm moving from bin I in the first document to bin j in the second document. I'd like to learn this transport such that the distance between the word embeddings in the first document and the second is minimized. Subject to the constraint that I pull out all of the document mass from the first document and push it into the second. And so this is a problem that was maybe first popularized by Rubner in 98, and it was called the Earth Mover's Distance. So this is sort of why we call this the Word Mover's Distance. And it's in general an even older problem, and there's a nice book by Cedric Villani about optimal transport, which describes this in much more detail and gives nice background on this. Now, when we look at the Word Mover's Distance, and we think, well, what we'd really like to do is learn this distance based on information that we have about how documents should be similar, we sort of run into a roadblock, because now we don't have vectors for each document. We have this bag of word vectors representation, so we can't just apply metric learning techniques and learn a better similarity metric. So instead, what we're going to do is we're going to try to learn supervision in two ways. The first way is by introducing a metric matrix A, not in document space, but in word space, right here. Intuitively, what this is going to do is it's going to take our original word space, where semantically similar words were close, which could make sense. But if we're interested in distinguishing recipes that are vegan versus non-vegan, well, then maybe we'd like words that are non-vegan to be close to each other and words that are vegan to be close to each other and otherwise far apart. And so this A matrix is going to basically learn how to do this. The second way we'll supervise this distance is by introducing what we like to call word importance weights, which element-wise multiply these histogram weights, D and D prime. And to make sure we, again, have a distribution, we'll divide by the inner product. Intuitively, what this will do is it'll upweight words that are important for classification and downweight words that aren't. Like chicken is important for identifying that a recipe is non-vegan. We'll call this method the supervised word mover's distance. Now, sort of the remaining question of the talk is how to learn this distance. And what we thought originally was, why not just take the one of the metric learning techniques I showed you, NCA, and plug in the supervised word mover's distance in place of the Euclidean distance? And then why not solve this with gradient descent? The immediate problem we run into is solving this optimal transport problem is cubic in the number of unique words in a document. And so if we think about trying to update A and W with gradient descent, we sort of start to despair because we have to compute this optimal transport problem every gradient step. So because it would be really terrible to end the talk here, we'll solve this by reworking the optimal transport problem to enable a nice speed-up trick based on some recent work. Here's how it works. So to give you a better sense of what's going on, this is sort of a nested optimization problem where the outer optimization problem is over the supervised variables A and W, and the inner one is over the optimal transport T. So the first change we're going to make is we're going to add the negative entropy of that transport matrix to the objective of the word mover's distance. And what Couturi showed, and also in Couturi and Doucet, was that you can solve this optimal transport problem in time quadratic instead of cubic. Increasing this an order of magnitude. And this is a dramatic speed up when we're talking about documents that may be very large. So this seems really nice, but if we look again and we stare at our optimization problem, we realize that some of our variables are in the constraints, and we're really hoping to solve this with the gradient-based optimization. So what we'll do is we'll form the dual optimization problem, because the nice thing about this problem is it's strongly convex. So we can form the dual and instead solve for the dual variables, alpha and beta, instead of the transport matrix T. And now all of our variables are in the objective. This is an unconstrained optimization problem. And so the algorithm follows very nicely. And importantly, this is still quadratic in the number of unique words. What we'll do to solve for A and W is just initialize it in some way. We'll then solve for the inner optimization, alpha and beta, the optimal transport. We'll then take the gradient of the supervised word mover's distance with respect to A and W at this optimal, A and alpha and beta, and then update A and W with this gradient, and sort of repeat until we're satisfied. Okay, so the question on all your minds is, was it really worth going through all of that to describe a method, and so we again computed this distance across these 8 data sets, and what we found is we were able to improve upon the state of the art. And what I'd like to stress is that what I'm actually showing in these 6 bars to the left are 24 baselines. So these are 3 different metric learning techniques and unsupervised methods, and we're able to, on average, improve upon them. And sort of more specifically, on 7 out of the 8 data sets, we can improve. we can drop the error over the word move resistance relatively by larger than 10% on average, and even on one data set, on a Twitter data set, we can drop it by half. We can also visualize what this algorithm, what each of the distances looks like. The nice thing about the supervised word move resistance is it sort of much more tightly clusters different classes than the word move resistance. We can also look at the word importance weights, and for example, Reuters is a nice classic news categorization data set. Words like oil and trade are very much very important for distinguishing a news document about economics versus one about sports, so it's upweighted. So to wrap up, I wanted to point out sort of at the beginning of the talk that similarity is an inherently ambiguous concept. So to address this, we introduced the supervised word move resistance. And we supervised it by introducing a metric in word space, A, and some word importance weights, W. And what we showed is we were able to outperform 25 different benchmark methods on average across 8 text classification data sets. And even more practically, we were able to make it fast via this nice trick by Couture and Doucet to make it a quadratic optimization problem. So I'd like to thank my co-authors, I'd like to thank you for listening. If you have any questions.
We have time for a few questions.
You can also go to lunch, too.
Then we should go, we should go for lunch.
Thanks. We start like at 2 o'clock.